Hello and welcome to your GCSE Computer Science Revision Podcast. I'm so glad you've pressed play today because we are diving into one of the most important topics in the entire course, hardware, specifically topic 3.1. Now, I know what some of you might be thinking. Hardware? Isn't that just computers and stuff? Well, yes, but it is so much more than that. Understanding hardware is understanding the very foundation of how every computer, every smartphone, every smart device actually works. And examiners absolutely love this topic. It comes up year after year in questions worth anywhere from 1 mark right up to 6 marks. So here is what we are going to cover today. We'll start with the von Neumann architecture, the blueprint that almost every computer is built on. Then we'll dig into the CPU, its components and how they work together. After that, we'll walk through the fetch, decode, execute cycle, step by step. We'll look at the three buses, address, data and control, and why each one matters. Then we'll compare the three types of secondary storage, magnetic, optical and solid state. And finally, we'll touch on embedded systems. By the end of this podcast, you should be able to answer any hardware question your examiner throws at you. So let's get started. Let's start with the von Neumann architecture. This is the stored program concept, and it was proposed by the mathematician John von Neumann back in the 1940s. The key idea is this. Both the program instructions and the data those instructions work on are stored together in the same memory. Before von Neumann, computers had to be physically rewired to run different programs. His idea changed everything. In the von Neumann model, a computer has four main components. First, the central processing unit, the CPU, which is the brain of the computer. Second, main memory, which we call RAM, where programs and data are stored while the computer is running. Third, input devices, like a keyboard or mouse, which get data into the system. And fourth, output devices, like a monitor or printer, which get results out. Now, the CPU itself has three key parts that you absolutely must know for your exam. The first is the control unit, or CU. Think of the control unit as the manager of the CPU. It doesn't actually do any calculations itself. Instead, it fetches instructions from memory, decodes them, and then coordinates all the other components to carry them out. It sends control signals to every part of the system. The second part is the arithmetic logic unit, or ALU. This is where the actual work happens. The ALU performs two types of operations. Arithmetic operations, like addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division, and logical operations, like comparisons. Is this value greater than that one? Are these two values equal? That kind of thing. The third part is the registers. Registers are tiny, incredibly fast storage locations inside the CPU itself. They hold the data that the CPU is working with right now. There are several important registers you need to know. The program counter, or PC, holds the memory address of the next instruction to be fetched. The memory address register, or MAR, holds the address of the memory location currently being accessed. The memory data register, or MDR, holds the actual data that has just been fetched from memory, or is about to be written to memory. And the current instruction register, or CIR, holds the instruction that is currently being decoded and executed. A quick memory tip for you. Think of the registers like a chef's workbench. The chef, that's the ALU, needs ingredients right in front of them to work quickly. The registers are that workbench. RAM is like the fridge, a bit further away. And secondary storage, like a hard drive, is like the supermarket. You only go there when you need something that isn't already in the kitchen. Now let's talk about the fetch, decode, execute cycle. This is the sequence of steps the CPU follows over and over again to process instructions. It is literally the heartbeat of the computer. Step 1. Fetch. The program counter holds the address of the next instruction. That address is copied to the memory address register. The address is then sent along the address bus to RAM. The instruction stored at that address is sent back along the data bus and placed in the memory data register. It is then copied into the current instruction register. And here is a crucial detail that many candidates forget. The program counter is incremented, so it now points to the next instruction. Step 2. Decode. The control unit examines the instruction sitting in the current instruction register. It works out what operation needs to be performed and what data is involved. Step 3. Execute. The instruction is carried out. This might mean the ALU performs a calculation. It might mean data is moved between registers or between the CPU and memory. It might mean a branch, a jump to a different part of the program. Then the whole cycle begins again. Fetch, decode, execute. Fetch, decode, execute. Thousands of millions of times per second. Now, what affects how fast this cycle runs? Three things. Clock speed, measured in gigahertz or gigajoule, tells you how many cycles happen per second. A higher clock speed means more cycles per second, so the computer processes instructions faster. Cache size matters too. Cache is a very small, very fast type of memory, built into or very close to the CPU. If the instruction or data the CPU needs is already in cache, it doesn't have to wait for it to come from RAM, which is much slower. And the number of cores. Each core is essentially an independent processor, so a quad-core CPU can process four instructions simultaneously. Right, let's talk about the buses. A bus is simply a set of wires that carry signals between components. There are three buses in the von Neumann architecture. The address bus carries memory addresses from the CPU to RAM. It is unidirectional. It only goes one way, from the CPU to memory. The width of the address bus determines how many memory locations the CPU can access. A 32-bit address bus can address 2 to the power of 32 locations. The data bus carries actual data and instructions between the CPU and memory. It is bidirectional. Data can travel in both directions. The width of the data bus determines how much data can be transferred in one go. The control bus carries control signals between the CPU and other components. It is also bidirectional. These signals coordinate the activities of the whole system, things like read and write signals, clock signals, and interrupt requests. A great way to remember the buses. Address tells you where, data tells you what, control tells you when and how. Now let's move on to secondary storage. Secondary storage is non-volatile. That means it keeps its data even when the power is switched off. This is different from RAM, which loses everything the moment you turn the computer off. Secondary storage is where you save your files, your operating system, your applications, everything that needs to persist. There are three types of secondary storage you need to know. First, magnetic storage. The classic example is the hard disk drive, or HDD. Inside an HDD, there are spinning magnetic platters. A read-write head moves across the surface and magnetizes tiny areas to represent ones and zeros. Magnetic storage offers very large capacities at a relatively low cost per gigabyte. However, because it has moving mechanical parts, it is slower than solid-state storage, it can be damaged by fizzle shocks, and it uses more power. Second, optical storage. This includes CDs, DVDs, and Blu-ray discs. Data is stored as a series of pits and LANs on the surface of the disc, and a laser reads them. Optical storage is portable and cheap to produce, which is why it's used for distributing software, music, and films. However, it has lower capacity than magnetic or solid-state storage. It is slower, and discs can be scratched. Third, solid-state storage. This includes SSDs, USB flash drives, and memory cards. Solid-state storage has no moving parts at all. Data is stored electronically in flash memory chips. This makes it much faster than magnetic storage, more shock-resistant, quieter, and more energy-efficient. The downside is that it is more expensive per gigabyte, though prices have been falling rapidly.
In the exam, you might be asked to justify which type of storage is most suitable for a given scenario. For example, a laptop used by a student who carries it around every day. Solid state is best because it is shock resistant and lighter. A server storing huge amounts of data at low cost. Magnetic is best because of the large capacity and lower cost per gigabyte. A music album being sold in a shop. Optical, because it is cheap to mass produce and portable. Finally, let's briefly cover embedded systems. An embedded system is a computer system built into a larger device to perform a specific, dedicated function. Think of the computer inside a washing machine, a microwave, a car's braking system, or a digital camera. These systems are not general-purpose computers. They are designed to do one job and do it reliably. They typically use a microcontroller, a small chip that combines a processor, memory, and input-output interfaces all in one. Embedded systems are everywhere in the modern world, and examiners love asking you to give examples and explain why they are suitable for their purpose.
Right, now for my favourite part, exam tips and the mistakes I see candidates make time and time again. Mistake number one, confusing RAM and secondary storage. RAM is temporary. It only holds data while the computer is running. Secondary storage is permanent. If a question asks why a computer needs secondary storage, the answer is to store data and programs permanently, so they are not lost when the power is switched off. Do not say because RAM is too small. That is not the key distinction. Mistake number two, getting the buses wrong. The address bus is unidirectional. It only goes from the CPU to memory. The data bus is bidirectional. The control bus is bidirectional. Many candidates say all three are bidirectional, which loses the marks. Mistake number three, forgetting to mention that the program counter is incremented during the fetch stage. This is a specific marking point. If the question asks you to describe the fetch stage in detail, you must include it. Mistake number four, vague answers about CPU performance. If a question asks how increasing clock speed affects performance, do not just say it makes it faster. Say, increasing clock speed means more fetch, decode, execute cycles occur per second, so the CPU can process more instructions per second, which improves overall performance. Mistake number five, mixing up the control unit and the ALU. The control unit manages and coordinates. It does not calculate. The ALU performs arithmetic and logical operations. These are distinct roles. Now, command word tips. If the question says state or give, keep it short, one or two words or a brief phrase. If it says describe, explain what something is or what it does, using correct terminology. If it says explain, you must include the word because or therefore to link cause and effect. If it says compare, you must address both similarities and differences. If it says evaluate, consider advantages and disadvantages and make a judgment. Okay, quickfire recall quiz. I'll ask a question, give you a moment to think, then give you the answer. Ready? Question one, what does the program counter store? The address of the next instruction to be fetched. Question two, what type of bus carries memory addresses from the CPU to RAM and in which direction? The address bus, and it is unidirectional, from CPU to memory only. Question three, name three factors that affect CPU performance. Clock speed, cache size, and number of cores. Question V, what is the key advantage of solid-state storage over magnetic storage? No moving parts, making it faster, more shock-resistant, and more energy-efficient. Question 5, give one example of an embedded system and state its purpose. For example, the computer in a washing machine. It controls the wash cycle, temperature, and spin speed. How did you do? If you got all five, brilliant. You are well on your way. If you missed some, go back and review those sections.
Let's wrap up with a quick summary of everything we've covered today. The von Neumann architecture is the stored program concept. Both instructions and data are stored in the same memory.
The CPU has three key components: the control unit, which manages and coordinates, the ALU, which performs arithmetic and logical operations, and the registers, which are fast temporary storage locations inside the CPU. The fetch, decode, execute cycle has three stages. Fetch, the instruction is retrieved from memory using the program counter and placed in the current instruction register, and the PC is incremented. Decode, the control unit works out what the instruction means. Execute, the instruction is carried out. The three buses are the address bus, unidirectional, carries addresses from CPU to memory. The data bus, bidirectional, carries data and instructions. And the control bus, bidirectional, carries control signals. Secondary storage comes in three types: magnetic, like HDDs, large capacity, cheap but slow and fragile; optical, like CDs and DVDs, portable and cheap to produce but limited capacity; and solid state, like SSDs, fast, shock resistant, no moving parts, but more expensive. And embedded systems are dedicated computer systems built into larger devices to perform a specific function. That is everything for today's episode. You have covered a huge amount of ground, and I am genuinely proud of you for taking the time to revise properly. Remember, the students who do best in exams are not necessarily the most naturally gifted. They are the ones who revise consistently and actively. So close this podcast, grab a piece of paper, and try to write down everything you can remember from today without looking at your notes. That retrieval practice is what will make this knowledge stick. Good luck in your exams. You've got this.